Hare Krishna, we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra, fifth home, verse number 48. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tatitam Bhagavan Rajan.
Tatitam Bhagavan Rajan.
Ekatmatmanam Sudruk.
Ekatmatmanam Sudruk.
Antaro Antaro Nantaro Bhai Bhati. Pasyatam Mayayorudha. Tadidam Bhagavan Rajan. Ekatmatmanam Sudruk. Antaro Anandaro Bhati. Pasyatam Mayayorudha. Tadidam Bhagavan Rajan. Ekatmatmanam Sudruk. Anantaro Anantaro Bhati. Pasyatam Mayayorudha. Tat.
Therefore.
Idam.
This
manifestation.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
Rajan.
O King. Eka.
One
without a second.
Atma.
The super soul.
Atmanam.
By his energies.
Sudrik.
Qualitatively like him.
Antaraha.
Without.
Anantaraha.
Within.
And
by himself.
Bhati.
So manifest.
Pasya.
Look.
Tam.
Unto him
only.
Maya.
By
manifestations of different
energies.
Urudha.
Appears
to be many.
Translation.
Therefore, O
King, you should
look to the
Supreme Lord
only,
who is
one without
a second,
and who
manifests
himself
by different
energies,
and is
both
within
and
without.
So,
purport by
Srila
Prabhupada.
The
Supreme Personality
of Godhead
is one
without a
second,
but he
manifests
himself
by
different energies,
because
he is by nature
blissful.
The living beings
are also
manifestations
of
his marginal
energy,
qualitatively
one with
the Lord.
And
there are
innumerable
living beings,
both
within and
without
the
external
and
internal
energies of the
Lord.
Since
the spiritual
world
is a manifestation
of the
Lord's
internal
energy,
the
living beings
within that
internal potency
are
qualitatively
one with
the Lord
without
contamination
from the
external
potency.
Although
qualitatively
one with
the Lord,
the living
being,
due to
contamination
of the
material
world,
is
pervertedly
manifested,
and
therefore
he
experiences
so-called
happiness
and distress
in the
material
world.
Such
experiences
are
all
ephemeral
and
do not
affect
the
spirit
soul.
The
perception
of
such
ephemeral
happiness
and distress
is
due
only to
the forgetfulness
of
his qualities,
which are
equal
to
the Lord's.
There
is, however,
a
regular
current
from
the
Lord
himself,
from
within and
without,
by
which to
rectify
the
fallen
condition
of
the living
beings.
From
within
he corrects
the
desiring
living
beings
as
localized
Paramatma,
and
from
without
he
corrects
by
his
manifestations
the
spiritual
master
and
the
revealed
scriptures.
One
should look
into the Lord, one should not be disturbed by the so-called manifestations of happiness or distress, but he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. By his order only, one should become a spiritual master and cooperate with the Lord. One should not become a spiritual master for one's personal benefit, for some material gain, or as an avenue of business or occupation for earning livelihood. Bona fide spiritual masters who look unto the Supreme Lord to cooperate with him are actually qualitatively one with the Lord, and the forgetful ones are perverted reflections only. Yudhishthira Maharaj is advised by Narada, therefore, not to be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress, but look only unto the Lord to execute the mission for which the Lord has descended. That was his prime duty.
Om Gyanatimiranthasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Hare Krishna. Here Narada Muni is speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthira, and he is giving a very wonderful instruction to focus only on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this purport, as well as in the translation, we can see the term within and without quite consistently. So here, in the second line itself, purport says, he manifests himself by different energies because he is by nature blissful. So, point number one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second. Meaning, he is the ultimate. As Shruti Shastra says, Nityau Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Ego Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. Nityau Nityanam, there are unlimited or infinite living entities or infinite beings who are eternal by nature. So we are part of them. We are eternal by nature. There is no birth or death to us, only just to the body. And it applies to all living entities. Wherever there is life, life by nature is eternal. However, there is one person who is maintaining all, and that is Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetanana Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kama Eko Bahunam. We may have desires, but independently we cannot fulfill any of those desires. There has to be sanction of the Supreme Lord. As it is mentioned, even a blade of grass cannot move without sanction of the Supreme Lord. So there is desire, and there has to be the agency by which it can be fulfilled. Now, here the first part itself is presented. Why are we here? Why the living beings are there apart from the Supreme Lord himself? The Lord is present and we are also present. Why such a creation? So, on one side, if we talk about creation, and that too creation of the living beings, we say there is no such creation because we are eternal and the Lord is also eternal. So how can we say at a given point of time we were created? That cannot exist. So this is by nature inconceivable. Now it is mentioned here that he is by nature blissful, and so he has multifarious energies. So the Shruti Shastra again mentions that Sakamaya Bahusyam, it is given in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, one of the Shruti Shastra. That is, Sakamaya, because of desire, he actually manifested himself as many. So that many includes us. So the Lord is one, but at the same time, eternally he has manifested by his multifarious energies as many. And one of those energies is we, the living entities. We are part of his energy. As Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter says, First defined Bhumirapo Analo Vayu Kammano Udhirevacha Ahankara Itiyame Bhinna Prakutat Ashtatha. That is, gives the eightfold energies of the Lord, which are material by nature. So Bhumi, earth, water, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, ether. These are eightfold energies of the Lord. So we can observe these energies, which are by nature unconscious. They are dead matter. Even mind is dead, even though it is being enacted by the consciousness. Even intelligence is dead matter, even though it is enacted by the consciousness. So everything is dead by nature. But Krishna says in the next verse, Apareyam idastanyam prakritim vidhim aparam jivabhuta mahabaho etam dhairyate jagat. But there is one energy of mind which is superior than this dead matter, and that is conscious by nature, and it is trying to exploit the inferior matter. And that is us. That is the conscious living entities. It could be in any form. It could be in the human form. It could be in the animal form. It could be in the plant form, aquatics, any form. So we are superior by nature, and because of that superiority, we have the tendency to exploit whichever is inferior to us. So that was mentioned in the previous verse. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity is the food for another living entity. That is this world. So not only that, we do exploit matter also. We can see this planet itself is in chaos because of so much of exploitation of the resources. And when this exploitation goes beyond control, then it causes harm to all the living entities, not just humans, for all the living entities. So that is the position of this world. And now, why he actually expanded himself into many, or why we are present? So it is mentioned, the Lord is by nature blissful, which implies that he is enjoying all the time. And enjoyment means varieties. If you want to enjoy good prasadam, we need varieties, right? How far can we eat just, chapati and dal, or rice and dal, or just bread only? How far can we? It's not possible. So we need varieties. So if you go for a feast, we are looking for how many preps are there, how many items are there. And we define the standard of enjoyment according to the variety. Right? So even when it applies to the Supreme Lord Himself, this variety matters. And so there are multifarious energies for the Lord. And all these energies are meant for His enjoyment. So it means we are also present for His enjoyment. Now the question comes, how about our enjoyment? So the answer is, we don't have to separately endeavor for our enjoyment, but when we cooperate, then naturally we can derive happiness and enjoyment and satisfaction. Because by constitution, we are meant to be enjoyed by the Lord. And in that process, we become blissful, happy and satisfied. So this is the secret that is unaware for the materialistic people. Because the whole aim is to enjoy and do separate endeavor to enjoy. However, how much ever one tries in the material realm for enjoyment, one ends up with frustration. So there is a lot of stress, there is a lot of anxiety, there is a lot of frustration. But however, when we turn ourselves to Krishna, when we turn ourselves to God, then naturally happiness comes. So we all have our experience. We were completely turned away from Krishna for such a long time. And we were suffering. In whichever situation we were suffering. However, we may not have changed our situation. The job we were doing could be the same. The studies we were doing could be the same. The family situation could be the same. But when we add Krishna to our life, then the whole thing changes. Naturally, one derives happiness and satisfaction. So, ultimately, even when we talk about the ultimate enjoyment of the Lord with His devotees, when we speak about the rasa, the enjoyment, the mellows of enjoyment, it is just like an ocean of waves. So we hear the waves of devotion, nectar of devotion, because it is not steady. So, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, nectar of devotion, say, okay, there is thayi bhav, there is fixed ecstasy, thayi bhav. But apart from that, there are so many rasas, which are just like waves, which goes up and down. And in that wave, both the living entities and the Supreme Lord enjoys. The spiritual life means actually enjoyment. And the difficulty is what we are going through. It is only because of our contamination, only because of our anarthas, because of our unwanted things. Now here, it is mentioned, the within and without aspect is there. So within and without, it's mentioned, there are two energies of the Lord. One is His external and one is His internal energies. External energy we are situated in, and the internal energy is in by which the spiritual world is created. So the living entities who are taken shelter of the internal energy, they are the residents of the spiritual world. And by default, we have taken shelter of the material energy, so we are in the external energy. Now, it is our option, it's optional whether one wants to move from this material energy to the hands of spiritual energy. So, that transferring process is devotional service. That transferring process is bhakti yoga. So, that is our opportunity. Hearing Bhagavatam means one of the angas of bhakti, by which we can transfer our consciousness to spiritual. So here, the qualities of the Lord is mentioned. So we are qualitatively one with the Lord. That is a very important point. So if you ask, are we one with the God? Yes, we are one with God. Qualitatively, but not quantitatively. So the qualitative oneness is important to understand, because we are Sachidananda. We are Sat. We are eternal by nature. We are all knowledgeable, Chit and Ananda. We are all blissful. Only because of our forgetfulness of this quality, we have identified completely with the matter. So we have forgotten Krishna, we have forgotten our qualitative equality with the Supreme Lord, so we have identified with the matter, and now we are suffering. So it's mentioned, this suffering is ephemeral, this suffering is temporary by nature, and it comes and goes, just like seasons, as in Bhagavad Gita says. Season comes and goes. In the same way, happiness and suffering in this world comes and goes. There is no steady material happiness and there is no steady material suffering. It comes and goes. So the instruction is to tolerate and move forward in the spiritual life. One cannot adjust the material situation and through which one can obtain steady happiness or distress. It's not possible. Now, when we speak about the quality as such, the Lord is known as the reservoir of qualities. He is known as Gunatma. As Bhagavatam says, Gunatmanaste Gunan Vimantum. Gunatma. Gunatma means one who is the reservoir of all the good qualities. And these qualities are spiritual by nature. And not only that, these qualities are unlimited. Then, it's also mentioned, it's important, when we speak about the qualities, that is when we speak about qualities like compassion, when we speak about quality of being sweet, when we speak about quality of caring, when we speak about quality of helping, when we speak about quality of magnanimity, then these qualities has to be associated with a person. It cannot be associated with something which is dead or which cannot be something which is impersonal by nature. So, when the Lord is addressed as Gunatma, that implies that the Lord is a person. Because only person can possess all these qualities. A stone cannot have all these qualities. No, an impersonal light can't have all these qualities. So, when we say qualities, it implies that there is a person who possesses these qualities. So, we refute the impersonal arguments that, okay, the Lord has an impersonal feature, because absolute means He must have all the features, so He has an impersonal feature. But when we speak about the quality, we speak about the Lord who is one without a second. And that is the Supreme Lord. So here, the purport gives a very important point in this regard, that the Lord has the whole plan. Something is flowing from the Lord in two ways, both within and without. So, what is the Lord's plan? Lord's plan is that people are suffering in this material world and we are not meant to be suffering because we are blissful by nature. So, He wants all the living entities to be transferred to the spiritual world. He wants everyone to go back to the Godhead. So, that is the mission of the Lord. And for that sake, He has presented plans within and without. So here the energies are within and without. He is present within and without. The Lord is present within and without. How He is present within? As Paramatma, as a super soul. He is present in all the living entities. Paramatma is one. Even though He is manifested, He is present in all the living entities' heart. The super soul is one. Similarly, He is present without. He is present in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhuta. So the Lord is, even though He is present everywhere, He is still situated in the spiritual world. Because He is inconceivable by nature. He is achintya. So He can be there in the spiritual world. And simultaneously He can be there in the material world everywhere. So that is possible. So in that sense He is present within and without. Then His energies are within and without. That is, one is external and one is internal. In the material world and in the spiritual world. And His flow of His mercy, that is also within and without. How? Because within, as Paramatma, He is guiding the living entities ultimately to go back home, back to Godhead. And without, as two aspects, one is as the spiritual master and also as the revealed scriptures. So three kinds of within and without. And in the third one, there are two kinds. One is the Paramatma, the super soul who is guiding. And finally, the spiritual master and the revealed scriptures. So it is mentioned that ultimately the intelligence is coming through Paramatma. Otherwise we cannot function in this world. Mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Smriti, the remembrance of Krishna, that is coming from the super soul, from Krishna Himself. If you want to forget Krishna, that is also coming from Him. If you want to live in this world, all the intelligence, that is coming from Krishna. So in that sense, we are completely dependent. And ultimately, if one develops a kind of desire to pursue spiritually, to go back to Krishna, then immediately Krishna reciprocates with him. As it is given in Upanishads, that is, there are two birds sitting on a branch of a tree. And one bird is very, very busy eating the fruits. But the other bird is just observing. The bird which is very busy eating the fruits, he is quite disturbed. Whereas the one is just observing, he is quite peaceful and happy. So the one bird who is disturbed, that is representing the living beings, us. Because we are trying to enjoy the fruits of activities. Whereas Krishna, in the form of that bird, as the example given, he is just observing and he is waiting for the living entity, when he is going to turn back to him. So this is our position. Now, as without two aspects, one is the spiritual master and the revealed scriptures. So we have a very, very important mission in this process. Because here is mentioned, one should look unto the Lord. One should not be disturbed by the so-called manifestations of happiness or distress. But he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. So this is particularly this mission for this month. This month is book distribution month, Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Marathon. So the whole idea is, as mentioned in this purport, we should cooperate with the Lord in His outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. So we have to serve Srila Prabhupada in this mission. We have to serve the spiritual master and we have to serve Krishna in their mission of bringing the conditioned source back to the spiritual world. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 9th chapter in Adilila, there is a nice verse, and the whole section is the concern of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing his concern. And the basis of his concern is thinking about the living beings of this world. How could they be delivered? How to give the fruits of love of Godhead, or in other words, how to give this transcendental knowledge to all the living beings. So that is the concern of Lord Chaitanya. And here, initially it is mentioned, it's a nice verse, it's mentioned, Malakara Swayam Krishna Prayamamra Taru Swayam Dada Bhokta Tathalana Yastam Chaitanyam Ashraya. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who Himself is the tree of transcendental love of Krishna, its gardener and also the bestower and enjoyer of its fruits. In fact, The Lord Chaitanya, he is known as Vishwambhar, one who maintains the entire universe. So Vishwambhar means, Vishwam means the universe, Bhar means one who actually maintains. So he is actually maintaining the whole universe, and he wanted to actually distribute the fruits of devotion, the fruits of love to everyone. And he manifested, initially he bestowed mercy on his devotees, and through that actually the tree of devotional service, the tree of love of Godhead, which is known as the tree of Chaitanya, grew in this world, which is starting from Madhavendra Puri, who was actually the seed of devotion. He manifested, he actually brought love of Godhead to the material world from the spiritual world, who is an eternal resident of the spiritual world. So, and after from Madhavendra Puri, the tree started growing as Ishwarapuri, the next his disciple. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took shelter of Ishwarapuri. And from there, the trunk of the tree started growing. And the two branches of this tree were Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. And there were so many branches and there were so many sub-branches to this tree. So this tree of devotion, the tree of Chaitanya, is growing all the time. And it has so many fruits, it produces so many fruits. And now Lord Chaitanya, he is worried. And this transcendental tree has a special effect. And the special effect is that any part of this tree is equally powerful. Any part of this tree can function as any other part of the tree, which is inconceivable. In other words, any of the spiritual masters in this tree can bestow love of Godhead, which is encompassing everything. Love of Godhead means it is the ultimate thing. So any spiritual master in this tree, any branch of this tree, is capable of delivering the whole world. And this tree has grown, and Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that ISKCON is a branch of this Chaitanya tree. And after mentioning this tree, Lord Chaitanya expresses his concern. He says, I am just alone. So this is a spiritual concern, even though he is the Supreme Lord himself, and he has all the capacity to distribute by himself, still he expresses his concern. He expresses his concern that, look, I am alone, and how could I distribute the fruits of this tree? How could I distribute this knowledge to everyone? I need help. So he's inviting all the branches. He's inviting all of us to be part of his mission. And this mission is nothing but distributing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And so Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much distribution of books. And that in this month. This month Srila Prabhupada said this is the very, very special month, because in this month, people have the tendency, the Christmas is approaching, people have the tendency to be happy, to outgoing, to give out in charity, and to accept something which is good. So we should take use of this opportunity. We should actually give out these transcendental books, which can actually get all the living entities beyond three modes. We can actually go beyond the so-called happiness and distress. It's very interesting. We say, okay, these books can help us go beyond the material happiness and distress, but we have to understand that when we distribute these books, we also actually go beyond the so-called happiness and distress. So the book distribution, if we surrender ourselves to book distribution, it's a process we actually forget our bodily demands. Because naturally we tend to be so much caught up in our bodily demands. But when we actually absorb ourselves in book distribution, then we can see we can actually get beyond that. And many senior devotees have mentioned, this is the time we can actually see how much we can stretch ourselves. And still we can keep going. So if we want to really experience ourselves, how we can perform devotional service without so much of contamination by the material modes, and be part of Srila Prabhupada's, Lord Chaitanya's mission, then we have to immerse ourselves in book distribution, in whatever capacity we can. So basically we have to get out. So first success is just going out, because mind has so many reasons not to go. Even in the marathon, even any day, the mind tells you, why to go. It's difficult. Why to approach people? Why disturb people? Why to talk about this book? But this is our mission, and we have to be part of this mission. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anyone and everyone can take part in this mission. It's mentioned that etavan janma saphalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranayat arthe dhya vacha shreya acharanam sata. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words. So this is actually a perfect opportunity to do this. We can use our life, wealth, intelligence and words. So if you are on street, if you are talking to people and if you are trying to distribute books, definitely we have to use our life, we have to use our words, we have to use our intelligence. In that way we can actually approach people and we can give a book. And when we give a book, we ask for a donation, just to cover the print cost, whatever they can. We collect that donation. In that way, we are actually using their wealth in service of Krishna. By that, they are also getting benefited. They are getting benefited by the book, by the transcendental knowledge, and giving something in charity, they are also getting benefited. So in all these respects, one can be benefited. Then, if somebody has wealth, as a devotee has wealth, and then they can sponsor some books, we can give books free of cost, or we can give books for a reduced price. So these are the opportunities that we have in front of us for this particular month. So we should actually take maximum use of this. And in that way we try to help ourselves and try to help others. And see, if we actually dedicate our time, see how much spiritual benefit that we get. So we can always see at the end of the book marathon, if we actually take part in the marathon, we can see ourselves becoming really blissful. Even though the activity in itself, it can be sometimes difficult. Sometimes we feel like, oh, don't do it. We feel like, you know, it's just too much. Still, if we keep going, at the end, it is just bliss. And also we can see, have so much of blissful experience. In fact, I went on books on Saturday, and actually I wanted to start my marathon on Saturday, because I am not here for the entire time, and also I can't do full time. So I was thinking, okay, I should do it on Saturday. And I found people who are taking books, some of them were, one was actually blind. A blind man was coming, and he was with his partner, and he had a dog. And I stopped him, and I started explaining to him. And then immediately he said, I'm blind. I didn't know, he had a glasses and he has a dog, that's it. So I said, you know, he said, you know, I'm blind. I said, that's alright, you know, I gave the book to the lady and I explained the whole thing. Then he said to the lady, give the money and get that book. So, you know, this Krishna is just, you know, sending people. So people can, you know, it happens, you know. Krishna sends people and, you know, they take books. And another lady, she was, you know, from Asian background, and I showed the book and started explaining. She said, you know, ears, and, you know, she couldn't speak anything. And she said she can't hear anything, like this, can't anything. I said, showed the pictures, and I said a few things, and I showed him, you know, just give some donation and take the book. Immediately she reached up to the bag and, you know, got some money, gave to me, and just grabbed the book. You know, so if you just try, someone will come and pick the book. You know, we don't have to do anything fabulous. Just we say the same thing about the book. There is nothing new. Just tell the same thing, but someone will get benefited. So do this charitable activity and, you know, get benefited. So Krishna will be pleased, Prabhupada will be pleased, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be pleased, and the whole parampara, they will be pleased, because they are looking. They are so interested. They are so interested in writing those books. That's why Srila Prabhupada came, and Srila Prabhupada was entrusted to write all these transcendental literatures. And our duty is to study and distribute. So we should try as much as we can. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, how was it?
Yeah, I think all the Bhagavad Gita is good. Just fine. So.
Pretty good. Yeah. So if you try, if you try, it happens. Krishna does it.
Bhoga, but you think Kashishwar is not pleasant?
Not really. I didn't have a look. Who you mean? Bhoga or Bhogoswami? Yeah, in Radha Damodar Mandir we can see his deity, right? His Radha Krishna deity, right?
Remember? There are many sets of Radha Krishna deities. One is of Bhugartha Goswami. I think he appeared after the Shat Goswamis, later in the lineage. Okay, anything further? Okay, then we stop here. Jai Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.